Wednesday from the Skyline Studios, high above Columbus and Wecker Drive. It's me, Anna D, Anna DeVlantis, here with you 1 to 3 on WGN. Okay, a couple things I want to get to, things that caught my eye and people are talking about here in the Chicago area, and then more on what's coming up on the show today. Amazing show today, jam-packed, by the way. So did you see this? The e-scooters are coming back. Do you like the idea of the e-scooter? They kind of got some mixed reviews. Remember the scooters that were sort of left all over the place?
Wait, so they got them out of the lake?
Was there one in the lake? I forgot.
Oh, several were thrown into the lake.
There were several just thrown everywhere. You would find them scattered on sidewalks.
There's a few Twitter pages dedicated to the Chicago scooters alone.
Oh, I got to look that up. I had personally mixed reviews about them because I live in the West Loop where they were plentiful. They were everywhere. And actually, someone called on the show when we were talking about this, like when they were last summer, and said, I got hit by somebody on one of these and they just sped away. So it sort of was like, okay, that's not right, right? There should be some accountability for that. And then you hear from the people who say, look, it's really intended for first mile, last mile. It's to get you to public transportation or to get you to work when you don't want to get in a car. It reduces transport, like the sort of congestion. Mm-hmm. Right? So you see the positives, but and then, oh, I don't know.
Weren't there also a lot of emergency room visits where people were getting run over?
Because no one brings a helmet. And it says on there you're supposed to wear a helmet, but nobody checks that. And you never see anybody on a helmet on the e-scooter. You just didn't see that. But the city says it's worth another shot. So they're doing another pilot program. Not a lot of details yet about when it starts. I'm assuming springtime or something like that. Or the new rules, because they studied it last summer and they say they learned a lot.
I mean, it can be dangerous, but there were 821,000 rides and fewer than 200 hospital visits.
Oh, okay.
If you're one of the 192, it's not a good thing, but, you know.
Wear a helmet.
There's some,
how about that?
Context or perspective maybe, too.
And here's the other piece that gives you some context or perspective, and I appreciate that always, Steve. 86% of those who had ridden a scooter said they want them to remain part of the Chicago scene. 21% of those who had not taken a ride agreed. So if you were a scooter user, you love it. And if you weren't a scooter user, it seems as if you're not really.
I would try it, but I'm physically very uncoordinated. So I think I would be one of those dorks that needed a helmet. So,
yeah.
And knee pads.
Helmets are a good idea when you're on the road. I just don't want to get all mom about it. But I do think that that's the thing. This has been a popular topic throughout the day here on WGN. And I can see why. Where is the big orange yellow ball in the sky? Where is the sun? According to WGN-TV Weather Center, this is day 8 of zero sun in the city. More than a week, right? See, Bertrand, I think I heard you top of the hour.
This is day 8, I think.
Okay, then we could set a record tomorrow.
Tomorrow we would tie the record. I've been talking to Demetrius all week, and he thinks we might see a peak or two of the sun tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Well, seasonal depression.
Don't you want the record now?
We're almost there. Yay, right. We're number one.
We're just going to get a couple peaks. That's, you know, I'd trade the record for
Oh, my goodness.
I'd trade the record if we could get a nice burst of sunshine during the weekend. You know, get the record.
Right. This is like depression. What we'd do if we win the lottery.
What would you do? Let's get some sun at some point, but let's break the record first. I guess it's been 22 years since we saw a streak like this, so that's the kind of record you're talking about. 1998. Then number two on the list of the top no sunshine years. 2017, you had to go back to 1914 before that.
I feel like I need to make sure that I have my vitamin D vitamins because I feel seasonal depression setting in for sure.
Winter.
Or maybe one of those lamps mm-hmm. to sit under.
They have those. Those are helpful. People swear by those. This may add some sunshine to your world in a there's hope in the world kind of way. I was so surprised by this. Okay, what do you think? Last year, more Americans went to the library than to the movies. The library. U.S. adults reported taking 10.5 trips to the library, about twice as many times as they went to the movies. And you might say, well, people have more choices. They're not necessarily going to the theaters. You've got streaming services. You got so many options right in your home. But they looked at this and they said they're still visiting libraries more often than in movie theaters 2 decades ago.
I mean, if you just stop and think about it, a library is a magical place.
Can be.
I mean, it is because you're going to the movie theater and you're paying to see a movie. You go to the library and you can have the world at your fingertips absolutely free.
I do know a lot of people go to the public libraries to access internet.
Wi-Fi is high up on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Activities for children also on the list. Young adults most likely to go, and I think they're including college libraries in that, so that would make sense. There's a new library in my neighborhood. My 8-year-old, digital native, loves going to the library. I mean, loves going to the library. She just likes to touch and feel the books and just figure out which one she wants to read. It's a cool thing to see.
Nothing quite like how a book smells. I love that smell. And I still have a lot of friends that do check out books, and I'll see that they've checked out their book. I'm like, really? You're going to check out a book? They're like, yeah, gee.
Good for you.
Remember back in the day, it had the card in it so you could read who checked it out before you?
And if it was kind of a dirty book, you could tell.
Now all of a sudden, that's like top secret information.
It's Yeah, won't tell you that. I know a lot of kids in school, too, they make them get a library card. That's one of the first things they do, like kindergarten or first grade, and you get one and kind of encourage you to go off and do it.
Ever have to pay an overdue fine?
I did, yeah. Oh, yeah. But remember, it was only like pennies. It really never seemed like a big fine. It's just sort of a fine.
So here's one. When I was in grade school, I checked out Steve Martin's book, Cruel Shoes, I think it was called.
Uh-huh.
And I lost it. I didn't return it. I really didn't keep it. I really truly thought I lost it. It turned up years later. And then years after that, Steve Martin was on Roy Leonard's show, and I was doing the news on the show. I brought him the book, Steve Martin. I said, look, here's a library book that I checked out and never returned. So,
did you get hounded for years from the library?
I ended up paying for it, I think. You know, after you couldn't find it for a while, you just had to buy the book, which was fair.
Yeah, that is fair.
And I have Steve Martin signature on a stolen library book, which is kind of fun.
So cool.
That is so cool. What a great story. And then finally, this one, this may also bring some sunshine to your world. It did me. Girl Dad. Did you see that hashtag trending? In honor of Kobe Bryant. I guess he gave an interview to ESPN a while ago that surfaced recently, asking constantly about, don't you want a boy, a son, to sort of continue your legacy and that kind of thing? And his response was, I would have 5 more girls if I could. I'm a girl dad. And so then the hashtag girl dad started trending, and a lot of people, including people here in Chicago, just posted some really sweet kind of pictures, dads and their girls. And if you can check that out, it's pretty much, Twitter is just an awesome place for that. You just look at all these like just heartwarming pictures of dads being proud to be dad of girls. Love that. Coming up on the show, Jarrett Payton, he's in Miami. He'll be covering the Super Bowl. He's got a new nightly show, a sports show on WGN-TV. We'll ask him about that and a number of things going on in the sports world. Jarrett Payton coming up here on WGN Radio. All right, it's Anna DeVlantis here, and we were talking about sunshine, or lack of, 7:08 last year. We were in a vortex this week, and my pipes were frozen, so I'd much rather have no sun. Feeling you there. Totally understand that attitude. There is sun, however, in Miami, and that's where we're going to be joined by WGN-TV's Jarrett Payton. He is sports anchor and reporter. You know him and you love him, but he now has a new weeknight sports show just debuted last night. He's part of the GN Sports weeknights on Channel 9 at 10:30. Hey, JP. Congrats on the new show.
Thank you very much. Man, I feel like I haven't been able to sit down since I've been here in Miami. I've been like running around crazy here in Radio Row and trying to get interviews, but I think that's where I'm in my happy place, is when I'm not sitting down. So I'm trying to enjoy this as the Super Bowl approaches on Sunday.
Yeah, this week is exciting stuff. I saw you with, was it Tariq Cohen you were posting out on social media?
Yeah, I just interviewed him a little bit right before my big game bounce show that I'm doing here on Radio Row. You can check that out at WGNTV.com. And it's just cool to have a conversation with him, catch up with him, Kyle Long. I'm hopefully going to interview him a little bit later. Interesting with his dad, Howie, talking about Kyle's injuries and the retirement yesterday. So we'll get Kyle's perspective as well and have all those the interviews tonight on WGN.
What did his dad say, Jarrett? His dad was speaking out about
Yeah, his dad was just kind of talking about his injuries and how Kyle had to deal with the injuries over the last 4 seasons, and you know, the pain that he's been through and what he did to, like, you know, to stay on the field, and that he truly understands why he stepped away from the game when he did. And it's one of those things. It's always hard, especially when you are come from a football family. Yeah. It's probably even harder to step away from the game.
So who are you seeing there so far? I mean, it seems like a lot of people do arrive in the days before the Super Bowl and get the most out of Miami and being there and all the excitement. There's a ton of stuff going on.
Yeah, a ton of stuff going on. But you know what? Not like the big names yet. I mean, there's a lot of just football related people that are around, but just guys that I'm excited to see. One of my Miami Hurricanes brothers, Reggie Wayne, mm-hmm. he is a Hall of Fame finalist. And so last year I had one of my other old teammates from University of Miami, Ed Reed, go into the Hall of Fame. So like, if I could have back-to-back years where a guy that I played with in college goes into the Hall of Fame, that would be huge. Yeah. And I got to see him. Michael Irvin talked to me just about the Super Bowl and the Bears, and just getting a chance to meet with those guys and talk with guys that I look up to and that I admire and that are household names in the football world. That's always a good time.
It must be special for you to be down there, Jarrett, because you know so many people in that world, and it's sort of like getting to catch up with your friends, right?
Yeah, it is. And then it's also, too, it's funny to see people that either cover my dad or who are around back in the day and watch me grow up. They're like, you're all grown up now. You're so businesslike. I'm like, Gotta work.
Right. You're not a kid anymore. No, you're not. I saw a post actually about somebody was actually your babysitter back in the day and posted a picture and somebody was out there. What was that?
Yeah. We had a guy that's part of the Next Star family who had a picture of when he's from Jackson, Mississippi, and my dad and his dad were doing some business together. And so they went out for like dinner. And they left him with me. He was like 12, 13 years old, and left me. And I'm like this little tiny kid. I could have been like 3 years old, and he was there to watch me. And somehow, like 10 minutes in, I had a nosebleed, and my dad like punched him on the arm when he got back and said, "Did you make his nosebleed?"
Oh.
And he said it's scarred him for life, and he said his arm still hurts from when my dad gave him a little punch. It was kind of funny.
And you didn't really know him or anything and didn't know that story. He just came up to you.
No, I didn't know the story. So now that I have the picture in my hotel room, I was looking at it, and I'm in these overalls with like this mohawk, like a Mr. T mohawk that I had back in the day.
You did.
So it's super, super funny to see pictures of yourself when you're a young kid.
I do love the hairstyles. When I look back, I'm like, oh, what was I thinking? I had that like cobra thing where you kind of hairsprayed the bangs up really high and it looked like it was going to attack you. You know, you remember that? Because I have a lot of hair.
I remember those days.
I thought that was a nice look at the time. In retrospect, not so much. All right, let's talk about some of the Chicago storylines here. We've got Jimmy Garoppolo, who is an Arlington mm-hmm. Heights, Rolling Meadows High School alum. He's the Eastern Illinois grad, of course, broke a lot of Tony Romo's records while he was there. So he's kind of, do we have to root for San Francisco? What do you think here? Is he the best Chicago storyline? What else we got?
Well, I mean, you got that. You got Robbie Golden, who is here in Miami for the second time to try to win a Super Bowl. Last time was when the Bears were here taking on the Colts, and it didn't go the way that he had hoped. I think a lot of people are rooting for Robbie. And
yep.
I said this a little bit earlier. He's just one of those guys that you kind of fall in love with, and Bears fans have a connection with him and all that he's done for the city of Chicago and for the Chicago Bears. And I'm looking forward to him. And now he's the old guy on his squad. He's the old guy, and he's like mentoring all the young guys. And I think that's what's so cool is that he talked about the unselfishness of this team, this 49ers team. And I'm going to be honest. I think this game is just going to be phenomenal. I think it's going to be one of those games that we look back on and we're going to be like, oh, you remember Super Bowl 54? It was a great one, especially with Patrick Mahomes, Jimmy Garoppolo, two young quarterbacks that are now the new wave in the NFL as we see some of the older guys starting to kind of fade out, like the Bradys and Breezes. They're going to end pretty soon, and it looks like the quarterback position is in good hands with some of these young guys.
It does seem like that's the storyline, and I think we're going to hear more about that because you have these young guys in it, and they're exciting to watch. It's going to, I mean, they're phenomenal athletes, and the game, I mean, it's teeing up to be a really exciting game. You know, one thing about Robbie Gold, Jarrett, you mentioned him. I know Mark Carmen from WGN Radio and Adam Hogue tweeted this out. Did you see this? They asked, I guess Robbie Gold must have had an availability out there or something. They spoke with him and they asked him to name all of the Bears quarterbacks he played with. And I'm not sure he could do that.
Yeah, that just goes to show over the years, all the quarterbacks that have cycled through the city of Chicago. And then you look at the arch rivals, that team from Wisconsin that wears the green color and that yellow. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at that, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, over, you know, from my childhood of watching football. And so just amazing. And I think right now, as we've seen it, as always, the quarterback position is such the most dominant position in all of sports, I think, and the most demanding of what you need to know and how big it is. That's why they get to pay the big bucks. And I think we're starting to see, like I said, that young crop of new quarterbacks coming in that are handling the game in a different way than some of the guys we're accustomed to seeing from back in the day.
Okay, so we got halftime is Shakira and Jennifer Lopez, which is pretty cool, right? I mean, woo!
Oh, all I want to see is J-Lo. She's my favorite, man. J-Lo has always been, when she was Jenny from the Block, I am like, I'm a huge fan. So I'm going to be looking forward to that. And then also, I don't know too many songs of Shakira, but I can still shake my hips like her just a little bit, so I'll probably be up at halftime shaking my hips just a little bit.
Do you get to enjoy that stuff when you're out there covering things? I guess you do, right?
At the game, I do. Right now, it's all work. I mean, I was up at 6, got back in the morning. I was back at the hotel at close to 1 o'clock last night. So it's long days, and I don't get to enjoy it as much now. And being in Miami where I went to school at a college, and I have a lot of friends and people here, you're here for business. You're here to work, and you got to be able to focus. So I'm doing that, and I'll enjoy myself on Sunday when I get the chance to go to the game. My sister and I will be on the field handing out the Walter Payton Man of the Year award.
Oh, I look forward to seeing that. I just love that. I love that moment. And you two are both just so good at what you do and such genuinely nice people, good people. I really just have so much respect for both of you. And in so many ways, Jarrett. And so you've got this new show, and that's what we have to make sure we mention that, because that's a really cool thing. This is making history to have a weeknight sports show here in Chicago. You're going to be part of it 10:30 every night on Channel 9, right?
Yeah, GN Sports. It's truly an honor. I have to say, growing up as a kid who loved WGN on both platforms, radio and TV. And to now say that, not only am I an anchor, but I have a TV show nightly through the week, it's something special. And everybody remembers watching sports as a kid on WGN, whether it was, baseball with the Cubs or basketball or White Sox baseball, whatever it is, you felt that connection, and sports have now gone away. And so we get a chance now and to sit alongside Dan Rohn, who, he's a mentor to me. He's a guy that I looked up to. So he's the best, and I've learned a lot from him, and I look forward to this new journey that we have and all the other people that are alongside. I tweeted that last night. I said, we made history last night. It's rare these days you can make history, and to be a part of the whole entire WGN family, let me tell you, it's special. It is a special deal. I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. Oh my goodness.
It's so cool. But be careful what you wish for, because sports fans in this town, as you well know, are so passionate. They're so passionate that you get one little thing that they don't quite like. You hear about it, Jarrett. I remember anchoring days, like when we would get a news item that was slightly wrong, no one would call in, nobody would text, nobody would email. But if the sports department devoted just a little more time to the Cubs than the Sox, oh my gosh, they would hear about it. 10 more seconds of coverage. It's one of those things.
Guess what, man? We encourage you to hit us up on social media and let us know what you want. And we want fans to be a part of this show. It's not just us up there. We want to interact with the fans. So just hit us up on Twitter as well during the show. And we'll hopefully be able to answer questions. And I want fans to feel like it's their show as well. And last night, we just want to say thank you to everybody that tuned in at 10:30 to check us out.
What is it on? What is the handle? Is it GN Sports
TV? If I'm not mistaken,
GN Sports TV. Okay, we'll get that for folks because I think it'd be fun to follow it. I followed it this morning and I'm just trying to find it, but could not. And then there's a special one last thing to promote: 7 o'clock tonight, too, Jarrett.
Oh my goodness!
What else do you have going on?
What am I not doing right now? Over the last 2 months, Rick Tarsitano, my producer at WGN, him and I went out and we decided that we were going to do a Super Bowl special, and we flew around the country. We got a chance to meet with Marv Levy in Chicago because he lives there, the old Bills coach. Talked to him about his Super Bowl experience. Emmitt Smith from the Cowboys, who has multiple Super Bowl championships and a Super Bowl MVP. And my good friend Ed Reed, who played and won with the Ravens against the 49ers back in the day for his Super Bowl championship. And we just kind of do a journey of their road to the big game, and it's on tonight. Legends of the Big Game, and comes on at 7 p.m. on WGN. It's a half-hour special. We've worked our tails off on this, and it's off the heels of the Savoring Sweetness, our documentary we did on my dad. So we hope that people in Chicago enjoy it.
Well, we will. And at 7 o'clock tonight, tune in 10:30 tonight, and then also catch Jarrett Payton out from the Super Bowl. Have a good time out there, Jarrett, and thank you for making time
for
us.
Anything for you. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you, Jarrett. Enjoy.
Bye.
Talk soon. It is no secret, coming up on the show, Illinois is losing population. So why are people going and where are they going? You hear about taxes. You hear about sunshine. You hear about the lower cost of living. Well, the data is in. It's census data, some other data. Someone at Bloomberg crunched it and tries to explain to us. It paints a picture of what exactly is happening. Some of it might confirm what you already thought. Some of it might surprise you. Ahead here on WGN. This is Anna DeVlantis here in the WGN Skyline Studios. Okay, our next guest, I'm excited to talk with him, excited to learn from him. It's no secret that our state is losing population. So why are they going? Why are they leaving? And where are they going? Justin Fox wrote a powerful piece about it in Bloomberg. It's about population loss, called Goodbye New York, California, and Illinois. Hello, where? He joins us to talk about it. And Justin, I read it and I thought, we also have so many theories, a lot of them anecdotal, about why people leave and you know, the reasons for that and where they go. But you actually crunched the data on all of this, didn't you?
Yeah, and I still don't really know why, but the IRS keeps pretty good track of people who file their taxes in one state one year and another state the next year. And so you can learn, and there's much more data crunching to be done than I actually did, but you can find out things like the biggest number of people leaving Illinois for other states are going to Florida. That's no surprise. They also are really affluent. Average income, taxpayer income of $135,000, which is much higher than the overall average income for Illinois. So that sort of squares with the image of older, affluent Illinoisans heading south for retirement. Some of the other places, the people going to Indiana, to Wisconsin, to Missouri are generally much lower income. And I presume they're, I didn't check this, but I presume they're also younger.
Okay, so we're losing the affluent taxpayers, not a good thing. And then so Indiana is getting people, but they are the lower earners. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
And the other, you know, as you look at the other data, so some of the local news organizations, too, have dug into this, and they say there's a sharp increase in the number of older people leaving. And I guess that's no surprise when you retire. Sometimes you want to go to find sunshine, and that may be part of the Florida exodus. I wonder about the age of the people who are leaving.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, and that totally fits with Florida, also Arizona. But, I mean, I guess why would there, it hasn't suddenly gotten dramatically warmer, relatively warmer in Florida or Arizona. So why would there be a sudden jump? I guess one of them is just there's a lot of people in their 60s right now because of the baby boom. And so some of this is just demographics. You're going through that particular part of the population that's pretty likely to leave in any case. And this is true of New York, too, is really big right now. So that it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just sort of what it is. I mean, obviously, taxes come up in all of these things. And Illinois in particular, you know, New York and California, you can attribute a lot of it to real estate prices. And obviously, there are parts of Chicago that are very expensive. But Illinois overall is not super expensive real estate-wise. It does have some governance problems and pension funding problems that neighboring states don't have.
Exactly. You know, but it's interesting you say that because you're right. We still are a fairly reasonable city when it comes to being a big city with all the things we have to offer, the cultural institutions, the festivals in the summer, the things to do, the architecture, everything this city that embodies the things about this city that we all love, that we call it home. It's an attractive city when you compare it to places like New York, places like San Francisco, and there was an article also about how there's a tech lash. And part of the tech lash is that millennials are kicking back against the culture within tech firms. But part of it is they don't like the cost, even if you have a six-figure salary, of moving to a place like San Francisco and having to bunk in with four other guys in order to be able to afford to even live there. And it may feel like you're really just getting by. So I feel as if, I wonder if younger generations, because a couple years ago there was a study that showed millennials are flocking to Chicago and that they like what they see here. So we're getting some new blood in.
Yeah, no, I think Chicago's attracting a bunch of young, well-educated people, but it's also shedding a lot of young people with high school degrees. So it's sort of bringing in these professionals, but it doesn't have jobs, and it's kind of expensive for people who don't have the fancy degrees. And so that's sort of, and that's true to an extent of New York and San Francisco and other places too. But it's just kind of interesting because Chicago isn't that crazy expensive. It's just kind of going through that transition nonetheless. I was just traveling through Europe the past couple of weeks, and I got curious about the data there, whether people are leaving like big cities there, and that turns out to be a global phenomenon. That overall, there's net migration out of all of these super expensive cities, which is like what's happening in New York and San Francisco and Los Angeles. But again, Chicago's sort of an interesting case there. It's this super vibrant city that costs a lot less than any of those cities.
Yeah, you know, you look at, I guess the reasons why are much harder to put a finger on than looking at data, like you just said, the IRS keeps. That's pretty easy to say, hey, you used to file taxes here, now you file them there. Now I wonder if some of those people are doing that 6 month plus 1 day rule that you're kind of living here, but you're sort of living in Florida. There's that issue going on. But then there's also, why do they leave? Is it job-related reasons? Is it cost of living? Is it high taxes? Is it just better opportunities? Is there any way of putting a finger on how those things rank in terms of the Illinois exodus, what people
point to? Yeah, that's a good question, because one thing my family on my mother's side is from the Quad Cities, from Rock Island, and there you have a metropolitan area that's just split on state lines, and you definitely see there's just, you know, over the decades, people tend to move over to the Iowa side, and that's, taxes are a little lower there. It's also just that it's sort of, that's where most of the new development has been, because the bigger, denser, older cities were mostly on the Illinois side. And, you know, clearly taxes are part of it there. You know, people can work at the same jobs and live on either side. For other things, it's not all that. It's this mix of weather and taxes and job opportunities and living costs.
As we were talking here, I just got a text from someone, 312. I'm what you would call a working class person, used to be middle class, but now I'm retired and I can't afford to stay in Illinois. So 2 years ago, I moved to North Carolina. Are you seeing those kinds of states, Justin, as you look at where people are going?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the top, I think it's the third or fourth state overall. Texas and Florida are the big two. I can't remember if it's Georgia or North Carolina is third. And it's in the top 10 for where people from both New York and California are going to. It's not in the Illinois top 10, but it's definitely a big destination. And it's a place where cost of living is low, taxes are relatively low, but there are also lots of jobs there too.
Mm-hmm. So when you track the data, are they leaving Illinois, California, and New York for the same states? Was it a similar sort of trend line when you looked at it?
California, it's really going to other states in the West. I mean, it's just sort of, in general, there's been this population shift westward. I think the West has grown even faster than the South. And then there's just this weird state in the middle of it that's losing people to all the states around it. And so that's sort of different. New York, I mean, one thing that's kind of funny is both New York and Illinois are actually losing people to California on a net basis. But, you know, New York, a lot of it is sort of stuff in the region there, like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, even Connecticut, which is a very expensive state, but I guess it's less expensive for some things than New York, and then also to the southeast.
One of my favorite memes is poking fun at those pondering moving out of the state of Illinois. There's this marijuana plant pictured next to the saying, Illinois will keep you as high as our taxes. I know that seems to be the running joke, but there's so much truth to it. I think there's a real effort now, hopefully, with pressure from the public to try to get the pension problem under control, to try to make sure that taxes stabilize here. I think it's also just generally for the economy. If you want businesses to invest in your state, in your city, you need to show some sort of stability and get those kinds of escalating costs under control. Because a lot of the states you're emphasizing that people are going to do have things under control, and that's who you compete with, ultimately.
Yeah. No, that's part of it. And, I mean, one thing is there are just cities and metropolitan areas that become big draws. And they're actually, even though the Midwest as a whole isn't growing, there are a bunch of them around the Midwest that have sort of gone from being places where you wouldn't think of moving to places where you would. And like Madison, Wisconsin was one of the earlier ones, but Grand Rapids, Des Moines, Sioux Falls. And what's sort of interesting is that, you know, Chicago's obviously had this attraction for a long time, but Illinois in general has struggled to sort of create another metropolitan area that draws in a lot of people. Champaign-Urbana is the closest, but it's still not growing like a lot of other college towns around the Midwest.
Well, you always have interesting pieces, and I read them all the time. So Justin Fox from Bloomberg, I hope you'll come back and discuss the next one. You've done some work about gig economy that I thought was fascinating, because when you look at the data, I think it's not always exactly as we think. Some of what you found here probably confirms what many of us thought, but it's just interesting.
Yeah, sometimes they're fun surprises.
Well, thank you. Thanks for checking in with us, Justin. Justin Fox.
All right. Great talking to you.
And that's interesting. He mentioned Illinois and Champaign-Urbana because the chancellor of the University of Illinois is here to speak with us. He's waving at me through the just in the green room. Nice to see you. And he'll be out here to talk more about affordability. It's a big issue when it comes to college. We see so many stories about it. Is college affordable? Could it be more affordable? What efforts are being made? What initiatives here in Illinois are being made to keep those costs under control? He's got some things to tell us about. And then there's this new cool thing at O'Hare. He was just out there earlier today. He's going to talk about that. It's about Chicago Public Schools and celebrating those students and also the University of Illinois. He's kind of a big deal. He is the chancellor of the University of Illinois, and his name is Robert Jones. And Robert, it's a pleasure to meet you, an honor to meet you, in fact. Thank you for coming on the show.
It's my great pleasure to be here.
I know you were here with some really cool things going on. Let's start with the reason you came to the Chicago area and made time for us here at WGN Radio, which we appreciate. But you were out at O'Hare for a really cool thing going on. Tell us about that.
Well, we were out at O'Hare this morning to do the unveiling of a 7-foot by 6-foot giant block eye.
An actual physical eye.
Yes, it's a physical eye and with the appropriate colors, of course, blue and orange. And it really is a symbolism of our efforts to start to brand and market the University of Illinois in a much more strategic and impactful way. We want to remind people that the University of Illinois has been bringing innovation not only to the state of Illinois but to the world for the last 152 years.
No question. We want
to remind our alums of what a great university they graduated from. We want to remind people here in the city of Chicago or travelers coming to O'Hare from across the country and across the world that this is where the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign is located. We're anchored in Urbana-Champaign, but as a public land-grant university, we have an obligation to drive research and innovation and public engagement across the entire state, and we are really ramping up our presence here in the city of Chicago.
It's awesome what you're doing, and we want to get to a couple of those exciting projects, one in Champaign, the center down there, the research center, and the one over here in the 78 area. Two really cool projects that are going to mean a lot to the economy, to the jobs, to kids who are coming up through college and have ideas of wanting to stay here and keep their work here and get great jobs post at the graduation. But you mentioned something here, because we have 150,000 alums in the Chicago area of U of I, and I think about that number. That's a huge number. And you're keeping everybody connected. I mean, it's just, what kinds of programs do you have to do that kind of thing?
Well, we have a number of programs. We've been hosting here something called Alumni Days, where once a year we have an opportunity for alums to come to a luncheon, and we have different events around the Chicago land where we go meet with alums and remind them of what's going on at the university. And I think you may recall last summer we launched the first ever Illini Fest, where we had over about 5,000 people came out for a summer festival that was very, very successful. So this is all part of our effort to be more highly visible here in Chicago And we're driving strategic partnerships with places like the University of Chicago on quantum computing, advanced analytics, and a number of other issues in public engagement, where we are really trying to reduce the distance between Urbana-Champaign and the city of Chicago, because as a public land-grant university, we have an obligation to serve the citizens of the state. And the last time I checked, 4 out of 5 residents of the state of Illinois live here in the Chicagoland. And so this is part of our mission as a public and as a land-grant university to be here and to continue to bring about innovation that changes lives and improve economic vitality of the city and the state of Illinois.
You talk about changing lives and technology and the innovation. You think about the great minds and the people who have graduated from the U of I. The engineering program comes to mind. The people who have changed the world of tech and changed the world in so many ways. But that area in particular, you think of the engineering school and the people who have come out of that, and the way it is globally just understood and respected as one of the places to be on the planet, really, for
Absolutely.
That kind of education.
Absolutely. And
it's right here.
It's right here in the state of Illinois. And I can tell you, it's not just our engineering school. We've been delivering excellence across our 15 colleges for quite a while now. And I'm very fond of saying that, and I think it's absolutely true, that no matter wherever you are in this ever-changing world, you can't go in more than a day and not interface with some technology or some innovation that came out of Illinois.
Yeah.
And so that's the way that this university, you know, physically located in Urbana-Champaign, but distributed across the entire state, has been changing the world for 152 years now, and we plan to continue to change it for the next 148 and beyond.
I know you will. I mean, I know you will. The things you're doing are so cool. And but before we get to the couple of those projects, I want to ask about 10% of your students are CPS graduates, and I know you're working with Chicago Public Schools to continue that kind of partnership.
We're working with them very closely to continue that partnership and to work with them to meet one of our goals, and that is to attract more students from the Chicago Public Schools to think about enrolling at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign is one of our top priorities. And you're going to be hearing more about the partnership that we're doing with Chicago Public Schools in the months ahead. But this is one of our key partners, and educational access and affordability, college readiness is a very key part of what we value at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
And I think that speaks to just the next issue that I wanted to get to, affordability. There's no question that is an issue when it comes to college. You know, you hear about student debt, you hear about how it can be crushing for so many people and that it can be unaffordable in some cases, but there are some new initiatives, and we want to make sure we let people know about this. There's the Illinois Commitment Program. And apparently more than 30% of the current freshmen at U of I would qualify for this. It's free education. Now, you have to meet the income guidelines, but it's gone up in terms of how much you can earn and how you can qualify for that program.
Yes, this program is something that the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign started a little bit more than a year ago. We started talking about this, and the original program was framed as a free tuition and fees for any student who gets admitted to the University of Illinois from a family with the income of $61,000 or less, free tuition and fees for 4 years. Well, that drove enrollments up significantly. We normally get about 39,000 applications. When we announced this program, that went up to 43,500.
Making college possible for people who otherwise maybe would not have thought that that was a reality for them, or thought that that was a possibility for them.
Well, you framed it exactly right, because what we found out, and the reason we started the program, it became very clear there was a large segment of students who wouldn't bother applying to Illinois because of sticker shock. They knew what the tuition cost was, and they just decided that why apply if I knew I can't afford it? Well, Illinois Commitment was designed to remove the cost off the table. Don't worry about what the tuition is. Just prepare yourself to be admitted to the university. And that has been very, very powerful as a tool as a part of our access and program to make sure higher education, particularly at the university, is accessible and affordable. Last week, we announced an expansion of that program to anyone from a family making $67,100 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to advance the opportunity in terms of the number of families that will be eligible to apply to be admitted to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And I have to stress and clarify that this is a program that's only offered at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus. This is a program we created, as I said, about a year ago, and it only applies to students that want to enroll at our university.
And if you think about it, compared to private universities and other schools and universities, U of I is a pretty good deal. I would have to say that in terms of figuring out ways to afford it, that's a separate issue because that's per family. You got to figure it out if that's what you want to do.
Well, it is a very good deal, and I think this we have to emphasize more clearly that there's a lot of talk about cost and affordability, but we're very, very proud of the fact that all in University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign spends probably between $120 to $130 million every year in keeping educational costs affordable through scholarships available to students that enroll. That has led to a situation where we're very, very proud that more than 50% of our students graduate with zero debt.
Ooh,
and I repeat that, zero debt.
Wow.
And the remainder of the students graduate with an average of about $22,000 to $23,000 in debt. And I remind you, that is about the price of a new car. If you were to purchase one today at today's prices, but a Illinois degree appreciates the moment you walk across the stage with it.
Love it.
So one is a depreciating asset, the other one is a depreciating asset, and the other one is appreciating. So an Illinois education is very, very valuable, and our goal and part of my administration's commitment is to work hard each and every day to keep it accessible and affordable. And I might want to add the outcome of our strategy in terms of keeping costs as low as we can has resulted in people graduating with debt that's about 20% lower than the national average. And 91% of our students have their first job within 6 months of graduating from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
Those are great statistics, and we appreciate you trying to keep it affordable for all of us here in Illinois, because I think it's a great school, and we all, you know, it's something that it's a treasure right here at home, and making it affordable, if that's what has to be done, it just allows that access, that gateway to all those things you talked about.
Absolutely.
Chancellor Robert Jones from the University of Illinois, thank you for making us part of your trip today, and I got to say, your basketball program's doing pretty well here at the top of the Big Ten. Even
top
though we're the
Big
home
Ten.
Of the Northwestern Wildcats, we still have to give you some props for that. So thanks
well,
for being here.
Thank you. But we're at the top of the Big Ten.
I know you are. I know you are. Before you can talk any more smack, we're going to leave. And thank you for being here. And I'm going to shut off your microphone, and we're going to say that's the news at the top of the hour at Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's Wellness Wednesday. It's Anna DeVlantis here in studio with two of my favorite people, Dawn Jackson-Blattner. She's a nutritionist. She's a nutritionist for the Chicago Cubs and author of The Superfood Swap. Also, Andrea Metcalf, health expert, entrepreneur, fitness authority, and founder of Studios Fuse. Andrea, you've got an event tonight we should get out of the way here, let people know. Flex and stretch.
Yeah, heck yeah. It's 7 o'clock at Studios Fuse. If you want to get better to your peak performance, if you can't touch your toes, this is a stretch and strengthen event. We've got this cool product. And most people think about flexibility training as stretching, and it's not just stretching. So we're going to teach you the fundamentals. Have a great time. Come on out. Studios Fuse tonight, 7 p.m.
And where is that again, Studios Fuse?
We are at 2215 North Halsted,
okay.
Kitty corner to Glasscott's. Most people know that by DePaul.
Glasscott's, yeah. Very,
right
very well known.
Street.
Highly identifiable for many, many years.
Yes,
a little
yes.
tavern there in Lincoln Park area. All right, guys, I want to mention this because this is fascinating, but every year this time people fall off from their New Year's resolutions. It's actually in January when people sort of say, yeah, that's not working. I'm giving up on it. I guess there's still time to pick it up again, but few people do, right?
Well, here's the biggest problem is people make resolutions that are too hard and too miserable. That's the bottom line.
And they can't do it.
It's like back that up. Like you just need to simplify and make it something that you would actually want to do instead of just so horrible and so miserable. So, I mean, lesson learned, if you fall off, it's too much trouble, whatever you picked, try and make something easier and go after it in February. story.
That's right. Baby steps all the way. When you make that giant leap and say, I'm going to do X for 7 days in a row, unless it's something like brushing your teeth you already do, you're probably not going to make it.
I also think if you say something like, I'm going to lose 25 pounds, and then in 2 weeks you've only lost one or one and a half or two, you're like, wait a minute, I'm never going to get to this. It's hard. It's much easier in my mind to say, I'm going to lose 3 pounds.
Yeah, and even back that up. Instead of focusing on an outcome, you focus on the process. So you think about, okay, what's up here? It's like, oh, I eat big lunches. I'm going to start bringing my lunch a couple of days a week and then see how that trickles into the outcome of weight loss. Or, you know, some kind of little behavioral focus step is really the place to put your efforts.
Yeah, it makes sense to focus on the little things that you're
little
supposed
things
to do. To
put on that
there
app again and go for the 10,000 steps a day. It's like nothing. By 2 o'clock, you've probably already done it, but you're recognizing it and you are rewarding yourself that, hey, I did it. You get the little wee and the rockets on my Fitbit.
Getting started is the hard part. I think walking is my biggest exercise right now. I take the dog for a walk. I like try to be a brisk walker to do a little bit of that because I really am not a huge fan of the gym. I'm not that person who enjoys it. I just don't make time for it enough. And so for me, I'm a big walker.
It's great. That's very European of you. It's actually a blue zone. The people who live the longest, healthiest, what exercise do they do? Walk.
Yep.
I mean, it's so great. And here's what I will tell you is think about the people you, and you know them too, is they go to the gym, you know, a few days a week for 1 hour and then they sit for the rest of the 23
long
hours.
That's right.
So it's like the person who's doing walking like all through the day to get to meetings and to walk their dog and all this end up getting more exercise than the person who's just going for an hour here and there.
You mentioned blue zones. I think I just read one of those books over
Dan
the
Butner
holiday.
But
yeah. Dan, we had him on the show, and I think he changes lives because he talks about how people in those zones all around the world, and they look at these small areas everywhere where people, they have the largest concentrations of centenarians, people who live to 100 years or longer. And you might say, well, I don't want to live that long. But the issue is they live healthy lives,
quality
lives, and they forego getting all kinds of chronic diseases and things like that. And they live very simple lives too. They seem very obtainable. These aren't wealthy areas. They're people who eat pretty modestly and walk and do things that are free for the most part in terms of that part of their lives.
Spirituality, relationships, and
purpose.
Even having a dog. Yeah, purpose and just those small things that make us feel better about ourselves. Like the walking, I think it's perfect. You know, that's always been my thing. Start walking. I think I said 10 minutes a day is your start to walking. Do it right before breakfast. Get up out of bed, put on your shoes, go for that walk, or do it right at the end of the day. And if you have a dog, you have to.
You totally do. You don't want to deal with the alternative. But a lot of people, though, do need the motivation of going to a gym. And a lot of people I know that they get their most energy from doing that kind of thing. And I know, Andrea, you're in a gym a lot. And tell us, remind
every day.
Us. Every day you're there.
I love it, though.
But you have such a happy spirit about it. And I love that, too. And I feel like there are things that come from exercise that I think maybe we look at it sometimes just like, oh, it's a good way to tone or that's a good way to lose weight. But there's more to it.
Oh, my gosh.
Getting that exercise
in. There's so many benefits. I mean, one is you're just a happier person. Two, you get more things done. Three, you've reduced stress. Four, you have a healthier heart. I mean, the list goes on and on of the benefits. And there's really two kinds of gym people that I see it. There's the person who really needs the community and the sport or the group fitness support. And then there's the person who just knows exactly what they need to do to get in there and get out. They schedule it. And those two types of people, if you're just kind of like going from place to place until you find your tribe or your community, you're not going to keep doing it. You got to like it.
Yeah, that's the thing. If somebody says, what's the best exercise to do? And I say, oh my gosh, there's one answer for everybody. Here it is.
What is it?
It is whatever you like to do that you're actually going to do.
Oh,
and
yep.
That is
love
the
that
answer. And so if you're a gym person, lean in. If you're a walking person, lean in.
If you're a
boxing
dancer
person, lean in. Oh, I
come
got
on
the moves,
she's
girl.
She's already dancing
I got
on the way
dancing
in.
Is a fun. I know you're always dancing, Dawn. I can tell.
You know
this
what?
Is how
I just,
this works
I like
for you.
It. I always feel like I've got a little beat in me.
I do like the things that make you think that you're not working out. Like
yes
to me, you know, like dancing and
yes
that kind of thing. Like, or I'll play whatever. I'll play a sport or something like that. I'll jump in. And it makes you forget that an hour later, you've actually been working out. It's a great thing. It's a
hallelujah
great thing.
I like the fitness equipment that now has the gamified stuff. So I sit there, I'm playing solitaire. I'm on the elliptical for like an hour and 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, I got to go get work done. But it was so relaxing to be able to be moving and have something fun that's, you know, kind of addicting solitaire.
630, this is interesting. I take group spin classes and run with a group. You build friendships, you build a support group, whether it's the diet or work or health issues. There's sort of that togetherness thing that we're talking about as well. You get so much from it.
I have gym friends. We're on like a gym text together. We like motivate each other. We compliment each other's like workout clothes.
Yeah, like you did
it's
good today. Oh, I have to give a shout out to Amy Boyle, who's a huge photographer here in Chicago. She does this 52 phenomenal women. But on Friday, get this, it's her 100th class in 4 months. 100 classes of yoga, Pilates. Yeah, I'm so proud of her.
Good for her. Go, Amy.
That's cool.
All right, we're going to be back with more on Wellness Wednesday. I have more to talk about, including why Prosecco gives you the worst hangover of any alcohol. And why, is there some other ones that we want to put on the list here, too? What you should eat at the restaurants when you dine out. What you should avoid if you're looking at your waistline or trying to think about your health a little bit. And then energy zapping foods. That's coming up here on WGN Radio. Wellness Wednesday continues here. It's 2:18, and Dawn Jackson Blattner is with us. She's a nutritionist, author of The Superfood Swap. Get her book. She has great books. She had The Flexitarian Diet. I read that. My husband read it. We all loved it. And she's also worked as a nutritionist for the Chicago Cubs. Andrea Metcalf is a health expert, entrepreneur, fitness authority, and the founder of Studios Fuse, where they have a cool event tonight, Flex and Stretch, that you might want to check out at 7 o'clock.
Thanks, Anna.
Get out there and flex and stretch and do all that. Okay, make 2020 the year of less sugar. It's a proposal that's harder to do than you'd think because I'm a label reader. I am. I think about kind of what I'm eating. I try to eat as healthy as I can. I don't always, but whatever. I look at the labels, and if you look, breads have sugar in them. Things that you would not even think have sugar. Pizza and pasta sauces have sugar in them. Some of them, a lot of sugar. And so you think about, you know, I'm not eating that much sugar. I didn't have a candy bar today. I didn't have a dessert. I'm doing great. And you're like, no, I'm not. It's not. It's kind of hard to see where we're actually getting our sugar. And most adults and kids are getting too much, let's face it.
Yes. 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 How many more yeses can I say to what you just said there?
Speaking of the choir.
I will tell you what you said is so important. It's like if you don't put sugar in your coffee or you don't eat ice cream, cakes, cookies and pies. Okay. That's one thing, but it's ubiquitous. Sugar is everywhere. It's hiding in processed food. So you've got to read the ingredients on there. And there's about 50 synonyms to sugar. So you've got to know, like, you know, it's not just, all the OSes and like fructose, glucose, sucrose.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
So it's, you know, really looking at that. What's nice is this year, big companies have to actually label added sugar on the facts panel. So you can see, like, you know, not all sugar is something you avoid. Like fruit sugar is good. Yogurt that has unsweetened, you know, unsweetened yogurt that has milk sugar naturally. But in a nutshell, look at labels, and you're right, it's hiding everywhere. But, you know, can I tell you good news about this?
Yes, tell us.
Because I was like feeling like a Debbie Downer there. I was like, wah, wah, wah.
Right, right.
The good news is that tons of brands are listening to our pleas, and they are making no added sugar versions. Things like chocolate and salad dressings and pasta sauces do exist without added sugar. So you just have to read labels and make the swap.
I'd like to find a bread. It's so hard. It's harder than you think to find bread, just regular sliced bread.
I just don't even
know sugars
or buy bread.
You don't?
No.
Why make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every
day? Bread, salt, and water. I'm like, we don't have bread. I don't buy it.
You don't buy it because you don't want it in the house because you'll eat it. Well, I mean, we make a lot of sandwiches in our house. And we make a lot of toast, and we do that little egg thing where you put an egg on the toast and fry it up. It's called a bullseye.
Kids.
It's called, they call it different names, hole-in-one or whatever. But it's the best breakfast when you wake up. It just tastes so good, and it's so
fun.
Easy.
My favorite bread is sprouted whole grain bread. When you sprout grains, they have more absorbable protein and vitamins and minerals. And so you can see usually that bread is sold in the freezer section because it has no additives, preservatives.
Which means you're not going to find it in your normal place.
Well, it's not in your usual aisle. You've usually got to go to like the frozen section.
Is it right next to the ice cream?
Now that would be dangerous. That would be dangerous.
Pick them both up. So this is interesting. Carolyn writes, I am the mom of two toddler girls, 2 and 3.5, and I'm a yoga teacher. I get up at 4:45 every morning, practice, and then I spend 30 minutes on the elliptical. Good for you, Carolyn.
Reach, girl.
Keep it up.
It's so important to get that quiet time before the troops wake up, and I think a lot of people do find that, you know, just to kickstart your day with that moment for yourself, or that 30 minutes for yourself to do something That's healthy before you go, go, go.
Look what a clear mind she can start with, too. She gets that yoga practice in there, so she's probably doing a little bit of meditation. And when you have toddlers, you have to be on your game. They're everywhere.
Yeah. You're running anyway. You got a little exercise built into the
exactly.
schedule right there.
And mornings are so magical, right? She really has something there with, like, doing exercise, doing spiritual reading. You know, even just a little bit of me time, I mean, can be such an important thing in the morning.
Yep. Yes. Yep. 815, that's called an egg in a frame. Are you guys familiar with what I'm talking about?
Egg in a hole is what
you kind of cut
it.
A little bit of the bread out and you put the eggs in it.
It's been years.
Yeah.
See, it tells because you have kids.
Yeah. That's, well,
I used to do that.
I think a lot of
it was fun.
My Italian mother-in-law does it. So she's like, she calls it a hole in one. So I don't know. Everyone calls it something different. But anyway, it's a fast go-to thing that I love to do. Okay. Foods you should never eat or you never order when you dine out. This is an interesting list because I find that the periods of my life when I've dined out the most, I gain the most weight. And I don't think that should surprise us. You don't really know what you're eating, even though it tastes so good. And there's an expense to it, too. But it tastes so good and doesn't feel like things I could prepare myself. But you really don't know, right?
Oh, my gosh, you don't know. And I have to say, you know, I was looking at a list like that. And there's a lot of healthy stuff that people are like, oh, I'm going to get the salad. I'm going to be so good. And I'm like, wrong answer. Because even out, like just thinking that you're doing like the fish or the salad or the sushi, just because you think it sounds like it's going to be healthy, how they prepare it makes a load of difference. So salads with tons of dressing and cheeses and dried sweetened fruits and all that stuff end up being
and
even
nuts.
More calories.
They're doing the candied nuts with blue cheese, with the cranberries, and then the poppy seed dressing. And it's like, you just bastardized that salad. It's no longer good.
Well, yeah. So,
the Caesar salad. Remember, that was such like a big thing. Yeah. Like, I have a Caesar salad, but it's got all the croutons and it's soaked in garlic and butter and
that's
calories.
What makes it taste good. But you're right. There's a lot of that in it. It's like, okay, what am I eating? Right?
I liked it when we're talking about restaurants. I just like to bring something like that up. Because a lot of people are like, I know, don't eat the fries, don't eat the fried chicken.
Or
like
the cheese
they get
curds.
It, you know, and so like you kind of get what's healthy and what's not. But at a restaurant, it can just pull one over on you because you think like, ooh, I'm getting like a salad and that's healthy. And not necessarily. You just have to pay attention to like what's on it.
Well, I like too that the menu boards at a lot of the chains actually have the salad counts. I mean, even in some of the places where it's a pizza or a burrito bowl or something, you'll see the range that it could be as much as 1,200 calories for just one bowl of lunch. And you're kind of like, ooh, I guess that was my total for the day in one sitting.
Hi, ladies. I get the sprout bread. This is the 847 area code. I get the sprouted bread at Aldi right there. They have their version there, too. But it's in the aisle, she says. Can
oh, well,
get
that's
sprouted?
Exciting. Yeah, it probably is sprouted, and they just have a quicker they go through it faster, so they're able to keep it on the shelf. Because that's why they oftentimes keep it in the freezer section, because there's just no preservatives or additives, so it can't last on the shelf very long.
All right, so I want to ask you, because we talked about this and we teased this, we were mentioning the worst alcohols for a hangover, and Prosecco apparently is top on the list.
I don't believe them.
No.
I'm just throwing it out there. I don't believe you.
Okay. Well, I believe you. So
Here's why. I'm telling you, the worst thing for a hangover are sugary cocktails. So it is, by and large, the craziest thing that alcohol does to your blood sugar levels. It has it crashing down. Like, people get shaky and almost like a hypoglycemic, low blood sugar from alcohol. But then you add sugar into that drink. So this is, you know, everything from margaritas to mules to all
Bailey's,
of it.
Oh, all the crafted
goodness.
Cocktails that are coming out and so hip, the old fashioned, the Manhattans and
hangover people.
There's so many ingredients in them that I don't even understand some of the ingredients.
Plus,
sometimes.
They taste good, that you drink them faster.
It's just that's a good point too. So I'm saying like sugar is your culprit, but that's another great point. It's a major hangover because you've had 3, 4
plus. Yeah, go down easy.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So energy zapping foods is that? I guess sugar would also be on that list, right?
Let's just keep throwing it under the bus. So
Right.
Get under there, sugar.
Sugar.
Exactly. Sugar but you know what? It is true. I mean, you know the foods that, you know, it's big meals. Even just the size of a meal can be an energy zap. Like, people talk about Thanksgiving effect, you know, and they blame the poor turkey.
Right.
But what's actually causing people to get so tired after Thanksgiving is just huge volumes of food. You know, your body has to digest all that. So, you know, like eating light, regular meals, you know, having vegetables that are hydrating. Those are all things that are energizing.
My favorite things that are energizing that I love are the roasted vegetables. Finally, we're really starting to see a trend in that, even in the restaurants. And I think it's restaurant week, so I feel bad talking about food so poorly that no one wants to go out to a restaurant.
I was enjoying restaurant week two nights in a row.
Restaurant week is great. And you can look for things that are healthy, the roasted vegetables, dressings on the sides, all those quick things, they do work.
Right.
And so if you just stick to your guns, you can still stay eating healthy, even during restaurant week or when you go out to dinner.
Yeah, and I like what you said, too. It's like, you know, there are things you can't make at home often.
Oh, no.
And you get inspired. So I like going to restaurants. I eat a little bit of a lot of things. And then I just get inspiration for like, ooh, I want to try and make a version of that at home. It's not going to taste exactly the same, but it's inspiration for my regular ho-hum routine.
Right.
There you go.
I got an air cooker. Is that what they're called?
Air fryer.
Air fryer.
Yeah,
that's
very
it. So you
trendy
can put,
of you, Anna.
Well, because I'm trying to make the people in my household eat some more vegetables.
Good.
And I figure if you make them crispy, then maybe they'll eat them.
I like the immersion blender and my sous vide. Those are like my two go-to things for quick, easy cleanup, fast.
Nice.
And then, I just have to get to this because I heard you say this together. Last night on the air here on WGN Radio, Don Jackson Blattner said, the intermittent diet doesn't mean you just skip one meal. Because people think that I skipped a meal, I'm on the intermittent diet. That's not what it is.
Intermittent fasting is so popular. And I do have lots of clients who are like, oh, I could do that. All you have to do is just skip breakfast. And it's like, no, that's not the point here.
No.
It's like you're supposed to. The point is that in that smaller window of eating, you're still supposed to have three meals that are balanced and healthful. Because when people just skip a meal, what happens is they have huge meals. They can't think straight. They're making horrible decisions. So what you're doing is you're just trying to have your three meals in a smaller window. It's called time-restricted eating. Just eat them in a smaller window. Don't just think it's skipping meals.
And isn't it crazy when people are going into these diets? You would never do this to your kids, but you would do it to yourself to try and lose weight. Like, if you're doing it for your kids, it's probably a healthy habit that you should be following yourselves. So
that's a good gut check, right? It's
like,
if I wouldn't do this for a kid, why would I put my own human body
But it's hard when you see like the celebrities who've lost like 35 pounds. Like, oh my gosh, you did the intermittent diet? Let me see what that's all about.
Yeah, there is something to beyond weight loss to having breaks that your body doesn't eat food because it basically goes to like an auto cleaning system. So it is good to give yourself a break every once in a while, right? But it doesn't have to be so drastic.
And it could be while you're exercising or use the exercise for part of the way to cleanse your body.
That's true.
That turns over cells.
Great advice. I love seeing you guys. Thank you for being here on Wellness Wednesday and see you again soon. Right,
yes,
guys?
Yes, please.
All right. Don Jackson Blattner. Yeah, be well. I love that. Andrea Metcalf, both of them, awesome people. Just great advice and just really, I love hearing it from you because I feel like it's that you deliver it in the way that I can absorb and hopefully change my life.
Digest.
More to come here on WGN Radio. It's Anna DeVlantis here in the Skyline Studios at 2:32 here on WGN. And maybe you saw this news. Maybe it hit you like it did me. I was like, say it isn't so. They canceled the longstanding tradition here in Chicago, summertime favorite, the old St. Pat's World's Largest Block Party. So many couples count that as a place where they first met. So many success stories, marriages, weddings, whatever. It's been such a cool thing, but they've decided to end it, and they're going to replace it with something else. So we want to talk about what's ahead here, what is going on. Leanne Kelly is the Director of Communications and Marketing at Old St. Pat's, and Brian Comer is the world's largest block party chairperson. Thanks to you both for being with us here on WGN.
Thank you so much for having us.
So I'm sure this hit a lot of people as a shock, and originally we're like, oh, wow, why are they doing that? So tell us, why are you doing it?
You know, we've been doing it for 35 awesome years. When we started, it was 1984, and it was really sort of humble beginnings. It was one block in front of the church, and it sort of grew into this big, iconic event. And, you know, there's a lot of street festivals, way more now than there was 35 years ago, so we kind of just are taking this year as an opportunity to say, let's look to the future, let's plan some new events and sort of, you know, see if we can do something that really reflects where we're headed as a pretty big, vibrant community.
Brian, I don't know how long you were the chairperson for the world's largest block party over there, but legendary for couples meeting and being a great place, and a lot of marriages came out of that festival over the years.
It did, it did. It was 18 wonderful years chairing that festival.
Oh.
And
wow.
And we love the years that you were able to help us as a bartender.
I was out there a couple times. I live in the neighborhood. It's just one of those things I look forward to every year. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was an iconic event on the scene of Chicago summer. But we're really excited about where we as a community at Old St. Pat's is going, along with the rest of the West Loop. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, starting new traditions and new events. And, our latest and newest event is going to be Shamrock in the Block that's coming up on Saturday, March 14th.
So Shamrock in the Block is a new thing. Tell us, it's March 14th, and it's a pop-up pub is what you're calling it.
Absolutely. So Shamrock in the Block, so apostrophe N, is we are going to be hosting the only street festival on St. Patrick's Day Parade Day. And, we learned from 35 years of experience hosting the world's largest block party that we know how to have a party on that block.
Oh,
and
you
so
do.
It just makes sense that Old St. Pat's has a big St. Patrick's Day celebration. And it works perfectly this year because we're entering our 175th year in April.
Oh, wow.
And our pastor, Tom Hurley, is the Grand Marshal of the parade this year.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, Old St. Pat's is such a beautiful church, too, I will say. It survived the Chicago fire. It's a special place. And I'm so happy, even though the block party's going away, that you've replaced it with something that I guess this is very family friendly and everyone could come out and enjoy, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Families, kids, adults, everybody.
Okay.
We want to celebrate Chicago and St. Patrick's Day with anyone who likes to listen to great music and have fun.
All right. Well, maybe all those couples that got married through the block party are now going to change the tradition and bring the kids and come over to the Sham Rock in the Block, right? If that's what you're hoping?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you for checking in, guys. I read the news, and I had a lot of people kind of text me and say, hey, did you see this? And so it's cool that you're replacing it, and I'll be coming out there on March 14th. I'll be part of whatever. If you want me to bartend, I don't know if you're even going to have a bar there, but I mean, I'll be there and help out or volunteer, whatever you need, Brian.
Anna, if you want to volunteer, we have a bartending position waiting for you.
Okay.
We'd love to have your help.
Great. Count me in, guys. Brian Comer, he is the Shamrock in the Block guy, and he's Leanne Kelly is the Director of Communications and Marketing at Old St. Pat's. Thank you both. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much.
I feel better now. All right, guys. Thank you. We want to shift gears here a little bit because we have another guest here who is doing some really amazing things. She wrote a book which basically started a movement, and her books were in the swag bags for the Oscars, or they will be for the Oscars. They were in the swag bag for the Grammys, and there's a reason why it's taking off what she's doing. Atara Tversky is her name, and she is the author of a special book. She's a Today Show style hero as well. Curly Girly has become a movement and a community, and I want to ask you more about it. Atara, are you excited and surprised by the impact that what you wrote has had?
Yes, I really am. I think those are two very good words, excited, surprised, and really thrilled, because it's so nice to see that there is a movement for young girls to love themselves just as they are. And that's what really Curly Girly is all about. I don't know if the backstory is that the book was really inspired by my young daughter, who has a head of curly hair. And I wanted her to love her hair and, by extension, all of her unique features, and not ever feel like somehow her curly hair was second best to her straight hair counterparts, which she seemed to see more of, because, in our family, nobody else had curly hair. In school, she seemed to be a rarity. So it was something that I did really for her. And what I found in writing the book and getting it out there was that there are so many little girls who are unhappy with their hair, with various features. And it's time to change that and to really empower children to love themselves. And you can't wake up, a 17-year-old and say, hey, love your curly hair. You really have to start that when they're really little. And that's how lasting change really happens. So I'm so happy to see that it's taking on a momentum. And I think that the Grammys and the Oscars being in those swag bags is really because, celebrities, they really are just like we are. And they want the same things for their children that we do. So it's been really great to see that.
I believe that. And I feel like, sorry, you have an emergency vehicle coming through. Hang on a second. I just want to give some of what attracted me to this story, because I feel as if whatever makes you different as a kid or an adult specifically when you're a kid, becomes what you get often teased about, and it becomes, you sort of become self-conscious about it. And that's just the nature of human beings. And then later in life, often you do try to appreciate your difference for what it is. And sometimes it can turn into a major strength for a lot of people. But it's kind of about right. building that self-esteem. But also reading that book to kids, I can imagine, helps them just appreciate differences in general.
Yes, I think that's so true. Like, I get so many wonderful emails from moms saying, you know, this was just so impactful to my son or, you know, to my straight haired daughter. And I said, wow, like, I think we're just touching a chord here. And I think that's because we're, as parents, as a society, we're just looking for things to really help us find balance and empowerment for ourselves and for our children. And I thought, you know, you can't, you know, shove it down people. You have to do it in a way that's fun and exciting, especially for kids. And that's how their Curly Girly character was born.
Let me ask you about something, because I feel like kids today don't grow up the way we did. And I attribute part of that to the sort of social media scene of constantly posting
yeah.
pictures and getting feedback,
right.
negative or positive, or trying to please the people when you post a picture to make it, you fill
yeah.
in the blanks, perfect in whatever
right.
way you envision that in your mind. And that's a difficult thing to navigate as a parent, as a kid.
It's very difficult to navigate that. You know, I saw something that was very interesting, and I hope it goes in this direction. I read in the business section of the New York Times, I think it was just last week, that the person in charge of the Instagram likes is actually trying to do away with that.
Yep.
Because of the negativity surrounding it, right? Because really, he was looking at children and saying, this is just so unhealthy for them. So I think that will be a good step in the right direction, because I do think there is something really negative about making sure, like, how many seconds did it take for people to like my post, and how many people like my post in the last half an hour? Like, there's something that can be really demoralizing about that for young people.
Or trying to say, how can I get more likes? And I think that can be pretty dangerous territory as well.
Just absolutely.
Do you think about yeah. that? So what do you think that it's, so do you think overall there's more pressure on kids today in that sort of general way of just the attention to them? Is, you know, do you, like, you're a mom, how do you navigate that yourself?
Yeah. You know, it is very hard. So let's say this, there's always been pressure, right?
Sure.
I mean, no matter what, with or without social media, there's always peer pressure. But I do think there's something that's mounting with the social media, and I try really hard. It's really difficult, but really to hold off on giving them devices, and then to really make them put down the devices during dinner. You know, I come home from work, I use, you know, Instagram, Facebook. It's a business tool for me. And I try to explain that to them. You know, mommy uses it as a business tool. That's what it is.
How does
but
that
I
go?
Try to come.
Do they take that answer? Because my daughter doesn't.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Okay. All right.
They do. I'll tell you why. I just learned this, and I try to come home and I put the phone away. I take it and I don't take it out for those 3 hours, you know, from the time I get home to dinner, to putting them to sleep. I don't have it out. Mm-hmm. So I think that they realize, yeah, there is some time that we can do without it. And I try to, you know, still get them to do activities that don't involve sitting on their phones, because it's just horrible to just, you know, it's horrible on so many levels. You know, first and foremost, you need to move.
Yes.
I think that's key.
It totally is an important priority that I think most families struggle with, deal with for sure. Atara Twersky,
yeah.
thank you so much for sharing your book, your movement, and everything you are with us. Where can people find you? The Curly Girly books, I imagine, are available where all books are sold. But where do we find you?
Yes. Yeah, so on my website is curlygirly.com, spelled with two E's at the end of curly. Too easy at the end of girly. You'll find my books. You'll find a lot of great hair accessories, t-shirts that say Curly Girly. I am a Curly Girly. And my podcast lives there as well. I have a parenting podcast, Curly Girly Cracking the Kid Code. So everything is really there. I am on Facebook, Instagram, so really everywhere.
All right. Thank you, Tara. Thanks. Appreciate it. We are going to talk trending topics here on WGN, including the Super Bowl ad featuring an NFL player that I think will move you. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a player talking to his former self as a child. And it's really, really pretty cool. So we'll share that with you and much more coming up trending topics here on WGN. 2:46 here on WGN Radio. It's Anna DeVellantis. Lauren Lapka has stepped into the studio as we talk about trending topics, as we do every day this time. And this is just great. I just love, this is one of the most powerful Super Bowl ads I've ever seen. And I really mean that. I feel as if this is something that will move people. It's from Kia, although the Kia part of it isn't memorable. It's one of those ads where you're like, okay, who's that ad?
Did you see that? Who's it by? I can't remember.
I just remember what it was about. And what it's about is the Oakland Raiders, Josh Jacobs, has a conversation with his younger self. And he's kind of sitting in the car with a boy who is him. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to himself. He apparently was homeless for a big part of his time growing up when he was in middle school and at other points in his life. And he's talking to that kid in this Super Bowl ad.
Sometimes I wonder what I'd tell my younger self if I ever saw him. I'd tell him, Josh, it's going to be hard growing up homeless. But you got to believe in yourself. Be tougher than the world around you. In that field, that's your proving ground. Push yourself to be someone. And I promise someday, you will.
Isn't that powerful?
It's very powerful. I just don't know if it makes me want to buy a car.
Right. I never understand that. But Kia is doing a really good thing as part of it. They're pledging to donate $1,000 for every yard gained during the game to three charities that deal with homelessness.
Okay. There we go.
So there's another piece, the back end piece of that. So it's going to run in the third quarter. But you can, I mean, a lot of people watch these things in advance anyways. You don't really wait for the game because too many people are talking. You can't pay attention to that. WeatherTech is the mascot dog that has been featured. The golden retriever that's been in the WeatherTech Super Bowl ads in the years past. His name is Scout. He's 7 years old, but last summer collapsed and had a horrible, I guess, issue of some sort, maybe a heart issue. Doctors at the University of Wisconsin Veterinary School found a tumor in his heart, and it was constricting the blood flow, and they thought it would soon kill him, but they found it. They did surgery on him, and so he's back, and he's doing well. And so he's in a new Super Bowl ad called Lucky Dog. And so you can see that as a way of saying thanks. The commercial cost more than $5 million to run.
Oh my gosh.
That's how much they cost. But they're making donations to the veterinarians who saved the beloved pooch's life. So thanks to the folks over at the UW School of Veterinary Medicine for doing that. That's a pretty cool story.
Super Bowl ads really stepping it up.
Yes. It's interesting to see the ones with a social conscience and that's becoming more and more common, I guess.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and how they get you to try to buy their stuff with the social conscious stuff.
Right? It's like, here you go. Yeah. Now how are you feeling? Oh, you want to buy a Kia yet?
Right. We care about the environment.
We spent so much money for this airtime. Please.
Please do something. Get it one Kia. Something for the whole family. But I got to tell you, that's the third time I've heard that commercial, the homeless, the formerly homeless NFL player. And I just find it powerful. I do. Did you hear it, Mr. Steve Bertrand?
I did not know we were working on something.
All right. That's okay. That's all right. 49ers Kate Sauer is the first woman to coach in a Super Bowl. And she's like, make sure I'm not the last. So she'll be out there. She's, I guess she's with the San Francisco 49ers, right? So it's a pretty cool thing. Do you ever think you'd see that, Lauren? I guess you
would
imagine
really
it.
Thought too much about it. Obviously, you want to see strides for females in every industry, but I didn't think it would happen so soon, and yet at the same time, it feels like we're a little late to the game still.
Yeah. How about it? That's true. It's interesting. She's getting a lot of attention, and I wonder if during the game they'll be doing that kind of thing, what kinds of things they'll pay attention to. Certainly, Kobe Bryant will, I believe, be mentioned at some point during the Super Bowl. Have you heard of anything going on?
I've not heard anything,
like official,
but I can't imagine that.
Right.
And I would imagine there are a lot of TV commercials that went into reproduction.
I think you're probably right, Steve. I bet you're right. Girl Dad was trending. We talked about this earlier. Hashtag Girl Dad after Kobe Bryant, interview he did with ESPN surfaced again, talking about how he was asked a lot about, hey, do you wish you had sons? You know, you kind of continue your legacy in basketball, maybe. And his answer to that was, I would have five more girls if I could. I'm a girl dad. So hashtag Girl Dad started to trend. And a lot of dads, including those across the Chicago area, were featuring themselves and how they're proud to be a dad of girls.
I was really happy to see that because after seeing so many gender reveal videos of how depressed dads look when it's pink, I think we could use a little support.
Is that true? Do they post those?
That's what I see when I watch a lot of them.
You probably have friends who are sort of having babies.
Well, not necessarily just mine, but ones that have gone viral.
I see. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Look a little more excited.
Like, you're having
a baby, okay? You're in on this no matter what. 80s video game maker Atari plans to open a Chicago hotel with an arcade bar. This is those retro games that I used to play growing up, and I loved video games. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're hot again. The Pac-Man, and the Galaga, all those, Donkey Kong. And this is the Atari stuff, which is pretty cool to see.
Any arcade bar, I'm all for.
What was the one where you'd ask, was it Asteroid? You'd break up the little asteroids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was
the only one I remember.
Did you have an Atari?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I did. I used to play till my hands hurt. It's just, oh, God, I love that game. But it's like kind of funny. So besides Chicago and Phoenix, they're going to move on to other areas too. The arcade bars, I guess they're a thing. They're popular.
I hope they're free though, because that's where they always get me. I don't
want to
go play if you're going to make me pay for each game. You know, let me in and pay more for drinks and then make the games free.
Oh, I've always seen them. You have to pay. And sometimes it's
headquarters, which is now, what do they call it? Over in Lincoln Park.
Right.
There used to be headquarters, but that one used to be free with all the pinball machines.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. The one in the West Loop is you have to pay. The Emporium.
I think it's Replay now.
Mm-hmm.
They do all the pop-up bars lately, too.
There was a lockdown. Maybe you heard about this, Steve, over at Whitney Young caused by a miscommunication. There was a police academy training exercise.
Right.
So they thought there was somebody with a gun in the neighborhood, but it's so close to where the police academy is right there, and they did not know. And so Whitney Young went on lockdown,
which is more understandable than a coyote lockdown that we had
remember that
a week or two ago.
Like, there's like
shut
coyote
down the schools.
Right,
everybody hide.
It's a wild animal out there.
It's like, I swear those schools, you know, darned if they do, darned if they don't. But that was a situation where if you see someone with a gun, I can see why they do something like that. Also, the electric scooters are back again. We talked about this top of the show, but Chicago says, hey, we gave it a try. We're going to give it another try. It's not officially launching again, but we're going to do another second e-scooter test. Got to get them out on the city streets again. They don't say when or exactly if there'll be some new rules or anything like that, what they learned exactly, but it's happening. It's happening.
I don't know how I feel about this. I wonder if they're going to keep the boundaries the same.
Right. They had the boundaries where you couldn't go east of Halsted, so your bike would technically lock. Right, if you try, or you, the scooter would lock if you tried to go east of Halsted.
That's what they said.
And then some of those scooters were found in the loop and on Lakeshore Drive and getting on the on-ramp on the Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
I bet they move it into more congested areas this time to see how it would work, you know, where people really want it. Because that's where people are going to need it, downtown things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get the whole idea of getting you to your public transportation, the first mile, last mile plan, which is what sort of sold the city on it, that reduces congestion if you can take a scooter to the L and then a scooter back. But I don't know if that's how everyone was using it. I saw a lot of drunk people in the West Loop kind of on them.
But just imagine, you know, that you get off your train at the metro station and the hordes of people come up the stairs and they all get on scooters and start taking off. Yeah, that could be a different sort of story.
It really would. It'd be, you know, I don't, where, how do they all fit on the street? Because that's the other thing. You're not supposed
There's
to be
no
on
spot for them,
the
yeah.
sidewalk either. All right, Billie Eilish, no surprise. Huge sales surge after the Grammy Awards. Didn't she, like, sweep all the awards?
I mean, she's five of six.
It's incredible.
Like all the big ones, I guess.
And put herself on the map. So she's outselling, like, everybody right now. Got her two albums out. And so it's up, like, what, 202% since the Grammys, her sales. So,
very talented young woman.
Good for her, right? Good for her. Did you see this? The daycare worker was fired after wrote on the child's stomach, "I'm out of diapers." Send that home to the mom.
That's
to
funny.
Let them know. That's funny. Wouldn't you be horrified as a parent?
What was it, written in pen or was
it? Yes, in pen. She said it took her a while to try to scrub it off her son's little stomach.
Why couldn't she just write a note?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. We're terribly sorry for the distress it has caused your family. So now she's fired, and that's what it took. All right, that's going to do it for trending topics, and we're going to get
the mom brought in the diapers.
I bet she's not going to forget that again, right? That doesn't happen. Thank you, Steve. And we're going to talk about what's coming up on the Rokan Show. He's 3 to 7 here on WGN, and then we're going to get the news before that from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All coming up.